Hello everyone, this is Asclepius with the final instalment of this great story from Elgarion entitled The Tavern Respite. Chapter 6, Briar's Cafe. Background music by Smart Sound. Elgarion Tecali hobbled his way up the well-trodden cobblestone road, entering the prosperous town of Owl's Head. Supported by walking stick, weighted by a somewhat cumbersome leather sack of books, the old man pressed forward as if this journey had become one of routine. With keen eyes intent upon the bridge ahead, leading into the town proper, Elgarion stopped a moment to take notice of a quaint yet elegant cafe along the right side of his path. Briar's Cafe, he mumbled to himself, as the thin man considered his options. With feet sore from travel and a shoulder aching from the slung sack, Elgarion decided he would take a pleasant and unexpected break before retiring at Fire Lotus Tavern. This eve, he would sit a while and enjoy something new. Pleased by the gracious attentiveness of the host, Elgarion was guided to a table of his choosing by the bar, slightly elevated from the rest. The scent of spiced mutton stew caused his parched mouth to find water yet again and spawned a grumble in his belly. Chuckling to himself, and before even taking to his seat, the elderly man, with a kind smile, stated to the host, "It would seem my body has decided for me, my friend. Please, might I have some of the fine mutton stew that lured me from the streets with its fine savoury aroma? Also, a mug of ale, something local, please." Nodding, the host scurried away without taking anything to paper. Elgarion then placed the sack down onto a bench and began to remove several books, scrolls, and parchments, spreading them out before him, yet leaving ample room for a mug and a bowl. Once he felt his dinner was well planned by a carefully arranged assortment of reading materials, the decrepit yet devout follower of Artenius lowered himself down onto the bench with occasional winces of pain from road-wearing muscles, ranting him for rest. As Elgarion waited patiently for the mutton and ale, an elegantly bound menu caught his eye, resting at the table's centre. He took up the menu with delight, planning what might satiate himself upon his next visit to Briar's Cafe. As his gaze drifted across each page, the old man smiled more and more. In good time, the host dutifully returned with mug dripping with froth and bowl steaming with spiced allure, and Elgarion's eyes widened with ravenous anticipation. "Good man, thank you so much for being so quick and generous. It is not uncommon for one such as I to be delayed service, placed in a corner far from view of other patrons, or simply turned away. And alas, you've done me such a kindness. The finest table, expedient service, and from what I can detect, the most delicious of foods." The host paused a moment at this comment, bewildered slightly, and only bowed and backed away with a gracious smile. The menu that Elgarion had selected was filled with enticing information and selections, such as appetizers, garlic cheese bread 175, Ardorous coleslaw 200, Yolo's catgut goulash 200, brackets, no questions please, Granis beef stew 200, local price cows, plate of crackling and oil 75, entrees, fish, plank of salmon, feeds 2, 400, baked trout, 225, caught fresh from the river out back, sautéed bass, 225, meat, Kayok's pork and beef loaf, 300, Dupre's wild duck stew, 225, Gaunt's venison roast, queen cut, 300, king cut, 375, Bowl of mutton, 200, contains Breyers special ingredients. Side dishes, caramelized onion quiche, 225. Bowl of Son of Regicide Stovey, 200, in brackets, I have no idea what this means. Beer battered bark bread, 175. Desserts, apple pie, 125. Banana bread, 125. Dine-in, take-out service, guild functions, additional food vendors at NBNN Vendors, Avatar's live streaming radio, lunch with Lazarus, special requests and orders, multiple opportunities at the cafe, friend Briar Vespa. Feel free to browse, relax and enjoy the beautiful views at Briar's Cafe. Sponsors, Onyx Smithing. Custom-made armor and weapons by Britannia Mining Company's own master crafter Onyx. Whisper Onyx or Jade for all your armor and weapons needs. Thank you for the use of the lot and an Ether Vibration Radio. NBNN Info, New Britannia News Network, hosted by Lazarus Long. Thank you for allowing me to use your vendors at your lot and having a small cafe out back. Visit nbnn.info for the latest and greatest streams from interviews with the developers, Richard Garriott, guild leaders, and great calendar of events throughout New Britannia. River decorating. When you are tired, cold, and start to shiver, think of home and call on River. She's the finest decorator in the lands. Trust your home to her hands. Whisper River. Get your name on her list of contacts soon. Thank you, River, for all that you have done for me, making an idea blossom. Avatars Radio, Amber Rain and wonderful staff, thank you so much for broadcasting the cafe on the air and taking my special requests on the air. BMC Guild, thank you to all the guildmates that have supported my cafe and hope to serve you at the future Lock Lake Tavern in Black Rock Cove. Interested in working at the cafe? Employment opportunities in entertainment, waitstaff, hosts, event planner, catering crew, hunters, gatherers, fishermen. Whisper Brian Vesper for an interview. Any ideas or suggestions? Please take a free menu up front in the public case chest and use a blank memo to leave a note, suggestion or order. Sincerely, Briar Vesper. Elgarion, equally bewildered, looked upon his own visage with obvious disappointment. Once a lord of men, a courtier of kings, a prize for ladies, now a withered husk, frail and bent, white beard, scraggly and uncombed, wisps of hair flying in the breeze, remnants of what might have been beautiful in his youth. Dusty, earthen-toned robes with frayed edges and torn seams, both crying for a sympathetic tailor. Sandals and toes caked with the dried mud of the King's Road. Nothing about him was pleasant to behold. Elgarion sighed to himself and whispered with some attempt to raise his own spirits, "I have found my home. Soon I might appear as though I have one." Elgarion chuckled a moment at himself, to cover the shame in his appearance behind a guise of humour. To interrupt the old man's mumblings, having overheard what just transpired, a nearby patron, a soldier in common armour with only a single stripe upon his shoulder, approached and stood stoic beside Elgarion's table. "My lord, news of your discovery has travelled throughout the Vale. We of Owl's Head greet our neighbours with open arms. And besides, there are many we serve far more road-worn than yourself. We are a proud people, but also prideful in our labours. A day's dirt upon one's clothes merely gives merit to their dedications for duty. But, regardless of which disguise might adorn you, my lord, Marquis de Carley is welcome in Owl's Head." Elgarion's lower jaw quivered slightly, as if words had trouble escaping him. I... you do this old man a kindness, friend? Alas, I have not felt so welcome in this new world as I do in this very moment." Elgarion braced himself against his staff, as if to attempt standing for the soldier, but the man insisted the weary traveller remain seated upon the oaken bench. "Please, my lord, do not rise. Your stew awaits, and I distract you from its wonders." Before Elgarion could respond, the infantryman came to quick attention, issued a flamboyant salute, then hastened southbound onto the nearby road. The venerable sorcerer of Artenius's eyes followed the soldier for a moment, but as the armoured man slowly drifted away from view, Elgarion's thoughts gradually deepened into his current state of affairs. With one final glance upon the menu of Briar's Cafe, he set it aside and looked upon the books which were placed around him. Maps, lore, myth, and missives, even magical incantations, littered the table around the bowl of mutton stew, now being ladled into Elgarion's mouth, dripping down his unkempt and wispy beard. With his attentions intent upon study, the delicious meal merely brought the wizard satisfactions deep in the recesses of his mind, as the truer passion and hunger were now being satiated by the knowledge which surrounded him. For hours, Elgarion laboured over the writings, absorbing anything which might reveal even the slightest hint of where the Moongate within Carly once stood. Already having discovered Carly, nestled between the Bone Spires and South Marsh, aside the village of Braemar, Elgarion's search was now narrowed and refined. A path to his lost people was no longer concealed amidst an entire world. Now, the search spanned only an area of mere miles. For behind this elusive and fallen rift, if it could be found, reopened, he could step inside and return to the void, which he for centuries craved escape. Then, the Marquis of Carly could return to the imprisoned and forgotten citizens of the once great city and deliver them from their accursed fate. Why, he wondered. Visions from his past overtook the survivor of the void. Why? Blackness. So long. Shrouded. Then the light came, blinding to eye, yet soothing to soul. Nearly a year I followed the light within that horrific dark. The light of my Lord Artenius, the seventh sun, was my beacon. For so long I followed. After so many years, I now bathed in his light once again. And then I saw the opening, a rift in the darkness which revealed the light of the world. The edges of the rift waved and shuddered as if straining to close again. Tendrils of mystical fire swirling amongst tendrils of enchanted water. These elements grasped one side of the rift, while the other was held at bay by ensorcelled dust billowing through incantations of air. The light of the seventh sun had directed me to the exit, but upon reaching it, the powers which held open the door assaulted my being with an overwhelming feeling of solace. The warmth of Artenius had shone upon me, given me hope, but the energy before me granting my exit was unfamiliar. I felt a presence, one of woman, of a mother. I felt the love of a mother to her son. I felt the essence of the Saviour Avatar, the Son of Balance. But no, I do not believe the eighth to be sun at all. For the powers which displayed before touched my heart as would a woman's kiss upon my cheek. The two suns worked in tandem to liberate me. Artenius, the seventh. And now the eighth sun? Why? Why did they come for me, guide me to my freedom? Why did they not serve as harbinger to my people in my stead? For it was I, a sorcerer of Artenius, who sealed their dire fate. It was the arrogance of my sect which betrayed them. As Elgarion stared onto the runic scribblings adorning a brittle scroll, he remembered his final moments from within the void. Then he spoke softly to himself, with lips dry and barely parting, with words which brought him great purpose, which defined him. "I weep, as do the seven. But what was lost will be found again. The light of Artenius guided me then, and his everlasting radiance guides me still. I will not forsake the gift which was bestowed upon me. Sons of the original touch, I will not fail thee. Artenius, the son of life force and sunlight, the saviour avatar, the son of balance. I believe you saved me so that I might find repentance for my transgressions. You bless me with divine purpose. You bless me with divine purpose. I am to liberate those which I doomed to eternal pain. Only then might my soul heal. Only then will I find peace. And only then will I rest. For this gift, of which I am most undeserving, this chance to redeem myself, I thank thee and give myself to thee for eternity." Many hours passed as Elgarion took to his research until the hours grew late. The wizard wiped stew from his beard on a dusty sleeve, gathered his works and placed them gently into the leather sack, took up his gnarled staff, twisted with age just as he, and hobbled his way out of Briar's Cafe. With a wave to the host, who stood diligent at the entrance, Elgarion turned northward up the cobblestone road, heading once again to his lodgings at Fire Lotus Tavern. Upon reaching the bridge, a voice ahead caught his attention. The town crier of Elshead approached, bellowing forth with vivid clarity of the recent happenings in nearby lands. Elgarion stood silent as the man approached, taking in the news with a smile. But what came next pleased the sorcerer greatly, for the crier took to providing the old man a conversation which likely the wizard would remember for years to come. For the first time from this interaction, Elgarion began to realize that the lands were healing. The roads were opening, and news from abroad was once again reaching the lips of criers and kings. Just as Carly had been found, so many other villages, towns, and crossroads are being revealed to the world, each with their own amazing stories of how they survived or arose from the ashes of the fall. The world awaited him. The world awaits them. New Britannia was ready for the return of the Avatars, and his peoples, once freed, would enter into a new world, vibrant and ready. "Hear ye, hear ye," bellowed the town crier, a young man fair of skin, dark of hair, and intent of purpose. "Found one white rabbit. If you are the owner of this animal and can describe him properly, please contact the refugee family by the river." Elgarion waved kindly to the crier, attempting to give sign of thanks to the crier's services. "Hear ye, hear ye," again he exclaimed. "Lord Enmar decrees that all displaced persons declare themselves at the guardhouse by the upper marketplace." The crier returned to the wave to Elgarion and approached. "Come to tip the town crier, sir?" The crier bowed to Elgarion kindly. "Greetings, friend. A fine voice for a crier, I must say," Elgarion complimented the crier as he returned to the bow with a slight wince, relying heavily upon his staff for support as he did so. "A tip? Why, certainly, friend. You do a fine job keeping the citizens here informed." Elgarion rummaged through a pouch at his hip, which, by the jingle, only contained a small number of coins. "You honour me, sir. It's thirsty work, I must say," the crier claimed, a fact likely influenced by the man's love for ale. As Elgarion handed several coins to the crier, the wizard introduced himself. "I am Elgarion, Elgarion Dekali." The town crier returned Elgarion's greeting with a reply. "My name is Marcus, sir, and I am pleased that you appreciate my efforts." Elgarion thought suddenly of Marcus's mention of thirst, then jumped to a recommendation while smiling broadly. "If you be thirsty, perhaps I should suggest Briar's Tavern. I just left my table there, and the ale was magnificent." Marcus, the town crier, nodded in thanks for the suggestion, but offered a counter-suggestion. "'Tis a thought, but the place is so expensive in comparison to the Fire Lotus Tavern. You can get a bowl of mutton there for a mere 2 gold pieces. Elgarion nodded softly, feeling slightly embarrassed to have suggested such an establishment of finery to one unable to afford it. "Oh, indeed, Marcus. In fact, that is where I now head, for I lodge at the Fire Lotus." Almost thinking their encounter was ending, Elgarion began to gather himself for the remaining journey up the hill. "I hope our paths might cross again. I typically come to Owl's Head to..." Elgarion paused, as if gathering his words carefully. "Regroup my thoughts." Just as Elgarion was about to bid farewell, the weary old man was pleasantly surprised by Marcus's next remark. "Would you like me to repeat the news of the day, sir?" the crier suggested with enthusiasm. "Indeed I would. In fact, I'll be sure to recount your news to my daily scribbles within my journal." The sorcerer began to listen intently, with a smile of appreciation on his face. "Very well, let's make this official, shall we?" Marcus stepped back and puffed himself up. "Hear ye, hear ye. Due to the ongoing refugee crisis in the Vale, the price of flour and grain shall once again be increasing. Hear ye, hear ye. Owl's Head mentioned in the latest double issue of the Novian Times, available at the public vendor by the pavilion." Marcus continued to captivate his audience. "Hear ye, hear ye. Missing person, Talbot the Younger, son of Talbot the Torchbearer. Contact his mother Matilda at the stables, or guard Captain Dreyfus at the guardhouse." Elgarion shook his head sadly, and his expression soured at the unfortunate news. The crier continued dutifully, "Hear ye, hear ye, found one white rabbit. If you are the owner of this animal and can describe him properly, please contact the refugee family by the river." And again, he repeated, "Hear ye, hear ye. Lord Anmar decrees that all displaced persons declare themselves at the guardhouse by the upper marketplace." Upon reaching the end of his script, Marcus stepped back to Elgarion and lowered his voice. Having noticed the wizard's mood sadden with news of the torchbearer's son, Marcus spoke softly. "Indeed, it is sad. That poor family has now lost both the father and the eldest son." Elgarion took this news with a grimace, influencing even further sympathy for the family. After a pause and a sigh, Elgarion spoke with kindly affection. "Marcus, you have a talent. Certainly, if you keep it up, you could announce the arrival of lords and kings at court." Elgarion bowed slightly to show additional appreciation. Marcus's face reddened slightly. "You flatter me, sir." "This pavilion you speak of, do you think any copies of the newsletter remain?" the old seeker of knowledge inquired. The crier pondered this a moment, then nodded. "Last I was there, I believe at least 2 copies remained. It was a double issue, printed on 2 pages. "Ah, excellent. I will go at once. I will be retiring to my lodging shortly, and having some current events to read would make the final hour pass well, I would think." Elgarion beamed with considerable eagerness. With a smile and a bow, the old man readied his walking stick and sack of books. "Well then, lad, I must be off to that pavilion. Likely, I will include the happenings of the newsletter in my journal as well. I wish to be thorough in my accounting of today's fruitful events." "Of course, sir, I must return to my duties," Marcus the town crier said, with obvious pride for his trade. Marcus aided Elgarion in collection of his staff and sack, then shook the old man's hand heartily. "It has been a pleasure meeting you, Elgarion, and I wish you well in all your future endeavours." The town crier stated this farewell with sincerity, then stepped back from the wizard and returned to his duties. "Likewise, Marcus, may your voice carry across the realm, young crier." Elgarion bowed again, then proceeded at a slow pace up the hill towards the pavilion which Marcus had mentioned. The crier's voice could still be heard in the distance, amidst the clamour of the blacksmith's hammer and tappings of the woodworker's mallet and chisel. Grateful that copies remained of the first volume, Elgarion made quick purchase with his remaining coin, then made his way to his quaint room on the second floor of the Fire Lotus Tavern. There, the wizard spent his remaining hour of this day reading the Novian Times, September 8th edition, Sheet 1. It wasn't long before sleep swept over the road-weary man, bringing him dreams of white rabbits, mystifying airships, and, sadly, the terrors of the void. Lying open on the table beside the bed was the Novian Times, September 8th, Sheet 1. Flight of the Icarus. Today, Novia enters a new era as the HES Icarus, the first Novian airship to fly under its own power, made the transit from Airy to Greyhold. The airship is expected to recharge its lead-acid battery using the wind turbines located there over the coming week, and then return to Airy, officially completing its maiden voyage. The crew consisted of inventors Verne and Tissandier, well-known balloonist aviator Captain Maxwell Cousins, and seasoned ballast handlers Gavin Banach and Connor McRaild from Airy. Due to concerns over safety, the airship carried no passengers and only one item in addition to its symbolic cargo, a barothermo hygrograph to record observations for the Oracular Society. Not all details of the flight have been released to the public. Rumours currently circulate that another airship was seen during the voyage by McRaild, but most discount these rumours as inventions of a fevered imagination or a plea for public attention. The Icarus lifted from its mooring at 8:03 a.m. Friday and arrived in Greyhold sometime after 4 p.m. in the evening the same day, to be met by Lord Tolly Lardbottom, whose company, Lardbottom Electric, designed the electrical systems on the airship, the famed inventor and polymath Doc Branson, and a cheering throng of labourers from the fortress site. With the success of the Icarus, and the interest many states and private Novians have in owning their own airship, we asked Lord Lardbottom if there would be a Lardbottom Aviation or a Lardbottom Express in the near future. While he did not dismiss the possibility, he said at present he has an obligation to the people of Airy, and indeed the entire Longfall Peninsula, to complete the work on Greyhold. We then asked the four notables what they see for the future, airship-related or otherwise. Verne believes that if a superior battery can be designed, it will be possible to extend flight, perhaps one day reaching Resolute or even distant Brittany. Tissandier's current passion is to design a better envelope for high-altitude flight, incorporating multiple independent balloonets in the envelope for increased safety. Lord Lardbottom believes we shall soon see a radio teletype. Morse code messages have already been sent over the radio. Connecting Bodot code using teletypes seems an obvious next step. This might seem like a boring idea to some, since we already have the radio. but it would be an invaluable invention for news services, publishers, and academies. Imagine an event taking place anywhere in the world, a story being written by a reporter on location, and then reading about it in the Novian Times that evening or the next day. Currently, unless events are noteworthy enough to catch the attention of Outlander broadcasts, it can be days or even weeks before they are reported. Finally, Branson gave the most startling prediction of all. He believes that we are on the cusp of a discovery that will let us travel not through space, but through time itself. Refugee crisis in Owl's Head. For the last few months, people have been driven from their homes throughout the Hidden Vale to seek shelter in the town of Owl's Head. At first, it was pressure from a group of bloodthirsty bandits known as the Red Sashes that drove people from their homes. Once, they were only a small band that preyed upon lone travellers on the road. Now, they seem to be increasing in number and demanding tribute from peaceful farmers. Then the Oracle placed an embargo on the Hidden Vale, sending Kingsport's economy into chaos and inviting smugglers to take control of the town. Not long afterward, rumours of undead arose in the south, and people fled from places like Braemar, whispering about the clatterers. Now, increasing numbers of dangerous animals, wolves and giant spiders, are being driven from the wilderness and are intruding on people's farms. In Myer, one of our reporters, Richard Masterson, travelled to Owl's Head to see the situation himself. "People are crowded in tents around the city and on vacant lots," he began. "Children beg for bark shavings at the local crafting pavilion so their mothers can make bark bread to sell for money. Barnyard animals and refugees flood the lower market, filling the street with manure and filth. I saw one boy, barely 10, standing by the sewers holding a torch. I asked him what he was doing. He said his name was Talbot, and he was a torchbearer. He would go into the sewers holding a light for adventurers, or the local rat catcher, for just a few gold pieces, so he and his brothers could eat. I asked him if the adventurers were kind to him, and if he liked them, but he replied no, he hated them. They got his father killed doing the same work, when the family had to move from their sharecropping livelihood elsewhere in the Vale. I met a local merchant. Her name was Myra. She said her brother had been thrown into the clink, that's what they call a local debtor's prison, when they couldn't make ends meet. Everywhere around me I saw sorrow and suffering, except for a few indifferent adventurers drinking their time away at the tavern. Will no one do something for these wretched people? At least the guard seemed adequate for managing the crisis. Owl's Head seems like the only safe place left in the Vale. I asked a refugee woman shopping at the lower market. She and her husband were selling their cow, the last remaining piece of property from their farm, why they didn't try to settle somewhere else. I noted there was another settlement called Chaos Crossroads, just a short walk from Owl's Head. She said the place was total madness, outlanders killing outlanders. No native New Britannian would dare venture there. I tried to get an interview with Lord Enmar. To his credit, he had not started turning people away from the town, but he did sanction a harsh debtor's prison for anyone who could not pay their bills. I wanted to ask him why he could not make an exception for people in this time of crisis, and what he was doing to see children get a proper education so they did not end up in the clink. Unfortunately, I was turned away rather brusquely by Guard Captain Dreyfus. He said the guards were taxed to their limits and could do nothing further. There simply wasn't money to properly care for the refugees. He and Norman, the owner of a small shop that taught crafting, tried to recruit volunteers to teach children how to make small crafts at the pavilion, but there were too many children and not enough volunteers. As for the guard captain himself, Dreyfus's plate was already full. He was caring for a wounded guardsman when I interrupted him to make my inquiries. Our hearts go out to these people, and we should all give thanks that we have the Oracle to watch over us here in Novia and help protect us from such tragedies. Echoes from the Caverns is brought to you by Lord Baldrith, Asclepius, and Sir Style Teckle. Also brought to you by Avatars Radio. To support Avatars Radio, visit their page at avatarsradio.com and click the Patreon button. Do you have a piece that you'd like us to read? Please contact us at lordbaldrith@thecaverns.net, asclepius@thecaverns.net, or style@thecaverns.net.